morning, good noon. Good to be home again. Well, I'm blessed to be here. I want to say two things before I start, okay, the teaching. One thing is that things have changed in what we feel, me and Gabi. Gabi, get up, please. This is Gabi. She usually doesn't come with me because, you know, but this is Gabi. Yay! And my daughter, Orly, this, my sweetheart, my small one. Come on, come on. Okay. And also Michael. So I have almost all my family here. There are some changes in what we feel God is calling us to do. And you know, I'm not a salesman. I don't want to sell myself or the ministry. Yeah? It's not my ministry. Whatever I do, it's his anyway. He's the boss. If you want to know more about it, we will have a table later on. Okay. I mean, at Oneg, who told me about it? At Oneg, you know, the meal that we take together, they will open a table somewhere here, right? And there will be, you know, some brochures, cards that you can take with you, okay? And read, they speak for themselves. Enough of this. The second thing I want to say before we start is that this teaching I really felt from the Lord won't end the usual way. You remember me, I'm teaching and say thank you very much, you go down. Not now, not today, I believe. And David, be prepared, I did not warn you time ahead. David, I would ask you and few elders to come at the very end, okay? At the very end of my teaching, I asked the sound man, which I forgot his name, Brian, to put a song on, okay, the speakers over there. I would like you not to move and to go, you know, at the end of my teaching, but rather listen to the song. It will be connected to the message. And while the song is played, David, if you can, you and some, you know, spiritual authorities here, to come here and lift this congregation and whoever the Holy Spirit leads up to the Lord, okay? And close it with a prayer, okay? So I will end the teaching and Brian will put up a song for us to hear, to meditate on. And then at the end of the song, David and others will pray, okay? We will do whatever the Holy Spirit leads. I trust the Holy Spirit and I trust the leaders here. So, enough talking. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Abba, thank you. Beshem Yeshua, we continue to give it in your hands. If you have your Bibles, hopefully you have, turn with me to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. We will tour the scriptures today. Zechariah 14, verse 8. All of you know the context of Zechariah 14, end-time context, okay? So, verse 8. In that day, it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea, Dead Sea, and half of them towards the western sea, Mediterranean. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. Turn with me to Revelation. The book of Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 1. Revelation 22, verse 1, and I'm reading. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on it, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no light, no night there. They need no lamp, no light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. How many of you anticipate this great day? How many of us? How many of us are longing for the rivers to flow not only from the throne in Jerusalem, in the United Jerusalem? I'm not talking about East, West Jerusalem. I'm talking about the United Heavenly and Earthly Jerusalem. I mean, who doesn't long for the living water when we walk in this desert life? How many of you feel that everything is good, business as usual? I mean, no problems, no bumpers on the roads. Hallelujah! Beautiful life we have here on earth, right? Maybe I'm the only one. No. If you think that you are doing good financially, some illness, sickness comes in on your way. Yeah? If you don't do financially good, I mean, if you do this, something else will attack you. The road is full of bumpers. This road of desert. Why desert? You have heard me many times speaking here about the stages of our salvation process. Yeah? And you know that we are in our desert stage. We did not make it yet, did we? Do we see the river? Do we see his face? Is he king over all the earth? Not yet. No. No, not yet. He is king over his subjects, which are us. Okay? But he is not king over all the earth. His name is not one. He is not one Lord over all the earth. Not yet, at least. Am I correct? So speaking about the yearning for the living waters, and I will speak with you a lot of about water today, you know, in this droughty season, both naturally and spiritually, right? And you know already my teachings, how I connect the natural with the spiritual, yeah? Whatever we pass through the natural, it's also a reflection of, not also, it is a reflection of the spiritual walk and what happens in the heavenlies, okay? So speaking about the desert walk, let's go to our portion, the portion of the week. And the portion of this week is actually very interesting because it is a very closing portion of the book of, who knows? Numbers. But it's not Numbers in Hebrew. Bamidbar, which means what? In the desert. Interesting, huh? Beloved, we are just at the, almost at the final line, finishing line in this race called life or desert life walk. Friends, Yeshua is coming soon. Amen. Sooner than last year when I spoke here. At least 1 year sooner. Remember, I don't tell you when, but I really sense him. He is coming, friends. Look at September. Don't look at September, actually. I take my words back. Look at God in September. Beloved, everything is changing and everything is about to change greatly. Hardships, if you thought that you are going through hardships, woohoo, wait. Real hardships, real tribulations are awaiting just around the corner, beloved. Why? Because I like it? Because I like preaching it? No! But I like preaching the scriptures. And scriptures tell me that tribulation are at the door. It's together. Together with the glorious second coming of the Lord. So friends, isn't it interesting that I'm standing before you today talking about the very end, you know, finishing, ending portion of the book of In the Desert. When actually the Lord gives the last commandments to Moses at the plains of Moab, just before what? Crossing the river into their inheritance. We are just at the same position spiritually, beloved. You feel the heat of the desert? Hang on. Be encouraged. We are just about to cross to the other side. But we cannot cross to the other side if we are not equipped. Well equipped. What am I talking about? Let's see how this portion starts. Numbers 33. Those are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Beloved, those are what? The journeys. Remember what the scriptures say about us? We are only what? Here on planet Earth? Sojourners, travelers, right? Whatever, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that whatever happened to our forefathers, not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but those forefathers under Moses, Joshua, yeah? Whatever happened to them was for an example for us, as an example for us to follow, not to follow their mistakes, God forbid, but not to repeat the mistakes. 1 Corinthians 10. Beloved, everything that happened to our forefathers under Moses is happening to us. So why are we so surprised? So those are the journeys, which means the story of our salvation is not a McDonald's fix. It's not a sinner prayer and that's all. The sinner prayer actually is the very first station in the, are you ready? I marked the stations which are mentioned here in their journals. Yeah, you cannot see it, but believe me, I marked them in order to count them. I was never good in math, so I need it visually, yeah? And I counted it in, I included in my account, my counting, the very first place where they left from. What was it? Ramses. Ramses also was one of the names of one of the pharaohs. And the pharaohs considered themselves to be divine gods. Do you see the picture? They cut themselves away from Satan by the blood of the lamb, by applying the blood of the lamb. But this was only the beginning. They crossed and were baptized into Moses and into the cloud. You remember? 1 Corinthians 10. My beloved, was it the end of the story? No. It's not a McDonald's fix. It's not only a sinner prayer. Sinner prayer and baptism are only the beginnings of the how many journeys, how many stages? 42. Does it click? Why does it click? Where do we hear this number again? 42. Revelation, yes. But in what context? Huh? Very good. The Great Tribulation, which is not 7 years, like the church teaches it. There is no least tribulation and greater tribulation. Light tribulation? What is light tribulation? Tribulation is tribulation. And it's 3.5 years or 1,200 days or 42 months. Is it coincidence? No, because tribulation is for our own good. They walk us through the 42 stations so we will mature and be equipped to cross to our inheritance. Are you with me? So I want to pick up on two of those stations. One of them is Rephidim. So go with me to Rephidim. You cannot come with me actually to Rephidim. It's somewhere in the desert there. Saudi Arabia probably. But you can go with me in the scriptures to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. What is one of the most important ingredients that you need while walking in the desert? Water! Right? How many times did they complain? At Mara and other, yeah? Oh, we don't have water. Oh, what shall we do? Beside water, what is the next one that we cannot live without? Food, bread. Right? So, beloved, what supplied their water needs while in their 42 stations or journey stations? The rock. Very good. The rock of their salvation, the rock of our salvation. Remember? 1 Corinthians 10 again. The rock walked with them, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10. What was their bread while walking in the wilderness? Manna! Do you see the picture? So let's see the two, what I call the two stages of our walk with our rock, without which we cannot make it. Number one stage is Rephidim, Exodus 17. The other stage is Tzin, the desert of Tzin. And the two must be applied to two levels of our walk with Yeshua. Are you still awake? Two levels of our walk with Yeshua. One level is the fleshly, soulish level, the religious one, and the other one is the spiritual one. There is a soulish walk with Messiah, which is okay for a while. It's the baby stage, the milky stage, nursing from the mother's breast. But you mothers would not want really your children to nurse till they are 60 or 70 years old. It's ridiculous. It's abnormal, right? So your father in heaven, he wants to wean you from the milk and give you some good steaks. There are two major levels, which has to do with water, because we do need the water. We do need the manna, we do need the water and bread in this life desert. Are you with me? So let's go to the soulish level, Exodus 17. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and encamped in Rephidim. I could go on and give you a sermon on the name Rephidim, but we will not do it now. Okay? It's very, very important. But there was no water for the people to drink. Oops. Now, who knows what comes in the next two chapters, three chapters after this one? Come on, Exodus 18, 19, especially 20. Who knows? Come on, a great event in the history of the nation of Israel. Exodus 20, Mount Sinai, the Torah. Right? This is the preparation, beloved. Now, what is the Torah and a picture of in our spiritual walk? The Holy Spirit, Pentecost. The Torah was given in Pentecost on the third day, a month after the Exodus. Remember? There are two stages or two levels of faith, of walk with Yeshua. The fleshly one, the natural one, the soulish one, and the spiritual one. So let's continue. Therefore the people, verse 2, contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Like Moses is a magician who can say, abracadabra, and here is water. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? Beloved, even in the soulish level, which is lower than the spiritual level, that we need to cross the Jordan, are you listening? It's not enough to have the soulish walk with Yeshua if you want to cross to your inheritance. Did you hear it? But even in the soulish, childish level of the walk with Yeshua, you should never, never doubt His provision. Never. Never, never, never. And I preach to myself, never. Because it hurts His heart. Why do you tempt me? I mean, after all, only, how many, 2 months ago, in this context, you saw the great and mighty judgments that I persecuted, executed over the gods of Egypt. Didn't you see it? Didn't you see how I opened the sea, the Red Sea for you? And now you are, where is water? Don't doubt His provision. Don't doubt His fatherhood. What father takes his children out of the devil's hand and then leave them to die? I mean, it's abnormal. I know there are many, many fathers, corrupted, distorted fathers today in this distorted world that we live in. But what normal father will take his son and say, okay, bye-bye, you are alone. And the people, verse 3, thirst there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, look at this, what is it? You have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst. So Moses cried out to the Lord saying, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. This is serious, beloved. And the Lord said to Moses, now are you listening? This is now the first level, or the basic level, the soulish level, of how to treat the rock. Go on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, also take in your hand, now you read it together with me, what is the next word? Only one word? It's not rod. Your! I'm very picky. I'm a Jew. Take in your hand your, not others, your rod with which you struck the river and go. Which rod was it? Beloved, come on, remind me, you know the scriptures. What was rod, Moses' rod? It was his shepherd rod, right? Where he met the Lord in Exodus 3, right? On Mount Sinai. But you remember what happened there? He doubted the Lord. He didn't want, it's too much of a responsibility for me. I mean, send somebody else. But you remember what happened? He told him, cast the rod out of your hands. When you cast the rod out of your hands, out of your hands, nothing good can come out but snake, serpent. Put your hand in your, how do you call it? Bosom? When you put your hand into your bosom and you take it out, nothing good can come out. Leprosy. Now I'll show what I can do with you leper, you serpent. I can change it into a rod again. I can clean it. My beloved, it's his rod which is, by which he struck the sea and it became what? Blood. Take your rod and strike the rock, and it will yield its water. Remember? So he took it, and he did it, and hallelujah, yeah! Plenty of water, right? Good. This is one level of faith. You are thirsty, Ben? Go and strike the rock. It will yield its water for you. I pray you will not do it anymore. Because only once you strike the rock with your rod. Turn with me to Numbers, which is far beyond Mount Sinai experience. Beloved, once you receive the Torah, you are accountable, much more accountable for God. Remember how God tolerated the people till Mount Sinai? Remember? At Mara, you know, they complained and murmured. And the Lord, okay, give them this. Okay, give them this. Okay, give them this. Check me, beloved. The very first trial or tempting by the people of Israel after the Torah, they are punished. He kills in them. He just strikes them with plagues. Why? Because the one who receives much, much is required from. So the next level that God wants us in our walk with our rock of our salvation, yeah? The next level is completely different than the first level. The next level must be in accordance with what God gave you already, and it's His Holy Spirit. Are you following? So far, no Holy Spirit. I mean, oh, you are just little children. No stakes. Right now, you are already supposed to eat the steak. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers 20, verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Friends, just to get you more into the context, this is a much, much heavier context in tragic context than the first level, than Exodus 17 that we read before. Here it was after the revolt of the children of, you know, of the priests, 250, remember? Datan, Abiram, Korah, okay? They just died by the hand of God. And now they lose Miriam, the prophetess, Mary, the prophetess. Don't take Mary lightly. She was one of the leaders. Did you know it? According to the rabbis, some of them, when Miriam died, Shekinah left.
God's presence. But look in this very context what's happening. Verse 2, Numbers chapter 20. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. People do not learn, right? Do we? And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord, why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, desert, Midbar, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. Oh, again, the water. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. You know why? Because they had a different spirit, at least till now. They understood what is coming up. Next. This is the second time they are contending and tempting God about lack of water. But this time they should know better because they received the Torah. Are you with me? And for us, this time you received the Holy Spirit. Watch up. Watch out. When you were young, children in the Lord, it's okay, okay, another spank, little spank, you know. But when you are supposed to be grown adults to cross the river. Verse 7, and the Lord spoke to Moses, please listen and don't miss any word now. Take which rod now? The rod. In Hebrew, et ha-mate. Not your rod. I do not need your rod anymore. I call you to a much higher walk with me if you need the water. You need my water? You need to act accordingly to what I brought you through so far. Take the rod, soon you will see which rod. Because Moses understood it. Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, and gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes. Speak to the rock before their eyes. And it will yield its waters. Its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took, are you ready? Took the rod, he understood so far. Took the rod from where? From before the Lord has he commanded him. Which rod? Aaron's rod. The one who budded just few chapters before. The picture of the resurrected Messiah. The Lord of all. The King of Kings. Not the muchi-muchi lover who is hanging on the cross. No, the one who resurrected already. Are you listening? This rod, take the risen Messiah and speak to him. Not your rod, I'm not satisfied with your flesh anymore. I'm not satisfied with your soulish level anymore. Rise up. Speak. Do not strike, because you do not crucify the Lord twice. If you don't believe me, read the book of Hebrews. So, And Moses took the rod, and he said to them, gather the assembly, verse 10, together before the rock, and he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then this is the fall, the big fall of Moses, which cost him the very entry, at least physically, to the land that he wanted so much to bring his people into, yeah? Then Moses lifted his hand, are you ready? And struck the rock twice with what rod? His rod. Do you get it? There were two rods here. The rod which budded, which was before the Lord, before the ark, as he was commanded just a few chapters before, yeah? And there was Moses' rod. Moses, in his short time, very seconds of, you know, weakness, he exchanged the rod again to the other rod. The soulish level. With the soulish level, you can only strike the rock. You cannot talk to the rock. Only with the other rod of Aaron, which budded, which resurrected from the dead, you can speak to the rock. What am I talking about? Beloved, you know what kind of relationship the Lord desires from you now? To have with you? Very good, sister. When you were children, oh Lord, you know, I was fired from my job. I need job. Please, Lord, I need job. I need water. Oh, this brother, this sister, they spoke evil against me. I wanted to avenge them. If I wouldn't be a believer, I would pinch them. Or even more. Worse. This is the soulish level. This is taking your rod and bite and strike and bite and beat and strike. Yeah? God, by the way, this soulish level can be also in service. I have this ministry. I'm going every Monday and Thursday to the jail. I'm not talking to you, Steve. You are a wonderful man. I'm going to have a jail ministry, Ben. I have a worship ministry. I serve here, I serve there. This is the rod. This is your rod. This is the soulish level. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And the context is going up to Jerusalem. Did you listen? Up to Jerusalem, but don't listen to your natural ears, but in your spiritual ears. Where are we walking now? Up to Jerusalem. To the end of ends. Where Messiah will come. Remember where we started? Zechariah 14? Just a few verses before. His feet shall touch the mountain. The mountain will split into two. That's how the river can flow, right? In this great valley. This is the very end of ends. End of times, beloved. End of this age, at least. This world, better said. My beloved, Yeshua had few stages in his life. This stage that we find him here, from Luke and onward, or from in Matthew, the context, Matthew 16 and onward, he turns his face like flint towards Jerusalem, which means towards death, complete death to self, towards the crucifixion. Heal. How are you with me? This is the context. And here in this context, there are two ladies involved in Yeshua's life. Actually, there is only one lady which invites him into her house. How many of you here, sitting here, invited once Yeshua into your house? Let's read it. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, Miriam, who also sat at Yeshua's feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Do you hear some self-righteousness here? I'm the only one who does anything here in this room, in this house. Yes, sure, you must have noticed if you are a man of God, if you are the whom you are telling me you are, you must know. Look at me. I have jail service, worship service. I write books. I do this for you. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. One, not two, not two and a half. One thing is needed. and Mary chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Which means all the other things will be taken away from her. Beloved, when was the last time that you sat at Yeshua's feet? Are you thirsty? When was the last time that you dug for your waters in the right place? What in the world am I talking about? The Haftorah of this week. Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. And by the way, put your finger at Jeremiah 17 as well. Put your finger there. And I want you to hear God's cry, heart cry. Do you have ears to hear, my friends? Verse 13. For my people, who are you if not his people? What are you doing here at all if you are not thirsty for his water, friends? There are two ways, like there are two levels. Remember? The soulish one and the spiritual one. There are two ways to reach for the so needy water. So much needed water. Two ways. Most of the history of Israel, our beloved nation, is filled with the soulish level of looking for his water. Only few dared and knew had the spiritual wisdom to dig in the right place. For my people have committed two sins, two evils. They have forsaken me. Who is me? The fountain of living water. And hewn themselves cisterns. By the way, the Hebrew word for hewn is lachtsov. It's not digging the ground. It's actually hewing the rock. Remember the rock of our salvation? Where do you find in this desert walk your water? In the rock. God wants us to dig in the rock to get the water out, to sustain our need. But there are two ways to do it. One way is to hewn for ourselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Borot nishbarim in Hebrew, broken cisterns or wells. My beloved, how many of us feel so thirsty today? Okay, I'm alone. It's good. No problem. I'm transparent. How many of us need urgently the water? Oh, some joined me. Thank you. Is it out of mercy? Beloved, but how many of us are... Abba, help me with my English. Are aware of the fact that the very need that we have for the water shows that we dig in the wrong places. And it can be against service. It can be going and doing and doing and doing and serving. But we don't sit at his feet. Go with me to the same book, Jeremiah 17, verse 13. Just a second, let me see if in English it's the same. Yes. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, whom? The fountain of living waters. Do you know the words here in Hebrew are very, very interesting? O Lord, the hope of Israel, right? Where is Dalia? Henry Schrad, Tanakh Bivrit, do you have... Where is Dalia? Dalia, I need you here. Okay, Dalia is not here with her Bible. But the hope of Israel is, yes, David? Very good. Mikve Israel. And David, if you already spoke, what, speak up some more. I love you. I love your wisdom. What is mikveh? Ritual bath, right? But you know that it comes from the root kavo. Kavo, hope. That's why the translation is the hope of Israel. Mikveh, ritual bath, is the hope of Israel in it. The water, the living fountains of God are the very mikveh Israel. They are the very hope of Israel. Are you with me? See the connection? So, beloved, how do we dig for this hope? How do we go into the water like Mary? Beloved, Mary is a picture, Martha is a picture of a new believer. Oh, come to my house, come. I will serve you, I will do this, I will do everything for you. Remember yourself when you received the Lord? Yeah? And he with his gracious, you know, mercy, say, okay, do. Till you are tired. Oh, it's about time you are tired. Now let me show you a better way. Come and sit at my feet. Grow from Martha to Mary. Amen. Mary is a picture of the inner man. Martha is the one who welcomes Yeshua. Mary is the one who feeds at his feet. Are you with me? For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, they cannot hold no water. We will end this teaching with John, the Gospel of John. You know which feasts in the God's calendar, prophetic calendar, speaks mostly about the end times, about the conclusion of things? Which feast? Tabernacles, Sukkot, yafeh, good. So let's go to the Feast of Sukkot now and see what Yeshua said there. John 7, verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the Feast of Sukkot, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, are we thirsty today? Beloved, I am. I don't know what about you. I am. I'm not satisfied with where I am. Yes, I will preach to you. Yes, I'm not satisfied. I don't think I made it. Like Paul said it humbly enough. I do not think I attained. But I do not look back. I set my face like flint towards the Jordan River. River, water. Speaking about water. Forget what's behind me and I just... What, in serving? No! In getting closer to know Him. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me, not to service. Not to the rock which was striked, but to the rock which was spoken to. You cannot strike somebody that you are in personal, intimate love relationship with. You must be an idiot to do so. But you can strike somebody who is far away, is an idol. This is Jesus the God. Oh, I have troubles in life. Jesus, help me. I need $100,000. Jesus, help me. I need you to kill this man. This is the soulish level, beloved. Where it is your lover, you sit at his feet. And you let him, your lover, love on you. And cleanse you. And pat you. And tell you how much he loves you. And his love will kick out any fear. And his love will give you the fountains of living waters. And not only outside, in within you. And they will flow and flow and flow and flow. You will not be able to contain it. It will need to go out to your surroundings. People will persecute you. September will come. This will come. Earthquakes. Obama elected again. Who cares? hers. I'm my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Oh, I'm so free. Love casts everything out, everything else out. And if I'm busy only while being connected, like a branch should be connected to the vine, not outside of him. He actually walks with me to the jail. He actually walks to me to the whorehouse. He does it. Because the life that I live now is not anymore me. It's only because of his love, the love of the Son of God, who gave his life for me. You want real satisfaction? You want to be really, really not thirsty anymore, beloved? Come to his feet. Know where to yearn for your water. Speak to your rock. Don't strike him. He doesn't like it. He wants to be intimate with you. Let's listen to this song, and then, David, if you can come and we can pray as the Spirit leads.